The last time I spoke, I also spoke about crawl spaces. How I'd been working in a crawl space, a wretched place, dark, damp, full of critters. And I came to find out later that I'd bumped my head pretty hard in that crawl space. Because shortly after I was in the crawl space, I lost 75% or so of my hearing in my one ear. And the medical people worked on it, did all kinds of stuff. And then somebody asked me, "Did you bump your head recently?" I was like, "Well, about the time it happened, I was working in crawl spaces a lot. And did you bump your head?" And I was like, "Well, it is a crawl space. It is dark. Did I bump my head? Duh, yeah." So, apparently, I bumped my head hard enough to move the plates in my head, and it's cutting off the auditory nerve. And I'm getting that worked on, and 5% of the time, each time I get it checked, it's about 5% better. So, crawl spaces, they're dark, dingy places. And I just shared how we have such places in our lives that we get in things and places in our lives where we don't want to be. But for various reasons, we are there. And many people say, they look at their life, they look at their circumstances, they look what's going on around them, and they look what's happening in the world around them, in the nation. And they say, many people say, if this is what life is like, then I reject God. God could change this. And they think in their hearts, if this is what life is like, I reject God. I would like to look at some passages of Scripture that give us very, very good reasons not to say, although I don't like my circumstances, though I don't like what's going on in the world, I don't reject God. And I don't know how many people I know who that's exactly where they're at. I reject God. Because of all the pain and the suffering, all the evil, all the wickedness going on, and all the pain in my own life, and all the stuff in life, I just reject God. Let's look at John chapter 17. I'd like to look at a first section here. It's from John 17, verses 15 to 19. This is where Jesus is praying for his disciples. And he's also praying, he also makes an interjection at some point in his prayer. He says, "I don't only pray for my disciples, those who I've been working with and training, I not only pray for them, but I pray for all believers." And we'll get to that section in a minute. But this first section, he's still praying for his followers, those who are working, doing kingdom work, those he is training for the work of reaching people. Here's what he prays. Verse 15. "Father, I don't ask you to take my followers out of the world, but keep them from the evil one." But keep them from the evil one. Don't you sometimes just wish, oh, I just wish I wouldn't have to be here. I wish I could be in heaven. I wish I could be with on the mountaintop with God all the time. I just, oh. But he's saying to those who are workers in the kingdom, keep them safe from the evil one. Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. And we're going to see in a minute here why he's praying that. Verse 16, very foundational here. They don't belong to this world, and neither do I. They don't belong to the world. And this also extends to all believers down to this very day. We are not of this world. We don't belong to the world. Now, the word belong. If something belongs to me, don't I have the right to call the shots? You belong to me, so I get to call the shots. Now, we don't belong to the world, so the world's not calling the shots for we as believers. We belong to God. He redeemed us. He took us out of this world and put us in his own kingdom. And he calls the shots. And there's a reason, there's very good reasons for that. You know, this morning, I got up early and took my dog for a walk. Went down Sharon Hill Road, and I started to smell a skunk. I said, there's something skunky around here. And a little further down the road, my dog all of a sudden makes a beeline for a culvert underneath someone's driveway. And he's heading, just sniffing. Oh, that delicious skunk. I think I'm going after him. That dog belongs to me. He's not coming home smelling like a skunk. He's not doing that. So I physically had to pull him away from that culvert because he loved the ways of skunks. He loved this. He was just so excited, the smell of that skunk. And that's why I had to pull him back and look him in the eye and say, Rudy, by the way, that's his name. Rudy, you can't do that. You come with me. And I had pulled him away, and afterward he smelled something else stinky, and we were on our way. Something else that he wanted to get into. But, you know, you think about it. The world, if the world calls the shots in our lives, what do we get? The odor of Lucifer. Because he is in so many ways controlling what's happening in the world politically and socially and spiritually. He's controlled so much of that. But we don't belong to that kingdom. So let God call the shots. That's foundational. And Jesus, in praying for his disciples and actually praying for all believers, including us, down to this very day, that's a foundational principle that we need very, very deep in our hearts, that we're thinking about it all the time. I don't belong to this mess going on in the world. It's not my kingdom. It's not my sphere of influence. It's not where I'm called to work. No, I'm called to work for the kingdom, to put my emotional and spiritual energy and physical energy into working for the kingdom and letting God call the shots, or we end up smelling like skunks. Moving on to the next verse. Your word is truth. So let this truth make them completely yours. Let me read that real slow. Your word is truth. And who was it said? What is truth? With that Pilate, I think, said, what is truth? It says, your word is truth. So let this truth make you make them completely yours. So when we give ourselves entirely as believers, Jesus is praying that we will give ourselves completely and entirely to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and letting them all work in our lives and reside in us and bless us for the work of the kingdom. Truth, look at the connection there. The word makes it very clear that we're purchased with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus. So the truth of the word, that's why when we read the word, if we really get way down deep in our hearts that this is truth, you can rely on it. It's not going to lie to you. It's going to tell you the truth. And as you read that truth, you get an overwhelming desire to be part of God's kingdom, to accept the sacrifice of Jesus and give ourselves completely to him. Why do we need to be completely his? Verse 18. I am sending them into the world just as you sent me. Why did Jesus come to the world? What was his purpose? I'm sending them into the world just as you sent me. Why did Jesus come into this world? Why did he leave the splendors of heaven and come down here into the crawl spaces? Yeah. He came to die so that we might have life. He came to forgive, to pay the price, to bear our burdens, to set an example for us that we might follow in his steps. So, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're all working in our lives, and they're all leading us to work in the world to reach people for the kingdom. Verse 19. I have given myself completely for their sakes, so that they may belong completely to the truth. I have given myself completely for their sake, so that they may belong completely to the truth. Jesus gave of himself completely. Of that we're sure. To suffer, to die innocently, to volunteer, to pay the price for our sins, our failures, our weaknesses, so that we could belong to the truth. Completely to the truth. And as I thought about that, what is the truth about belonging completely to him? That means that Jesus came and died so that we don't make up our own mind about what we do. We don't make up our own mind about even who we should be ministering to. Who needs a good word? The Holy Spirit tells us. He comes and tells us who's ready. He tells us, see that person over there? Just go say something to them. Oh, who the boss? He is. We belong to him. And obedience is a foundational key. When he speaks to us, let's just listen. Let's just listen. It always turns out right when we just make the choice to listen. Jesus moves on to, in his prayer, he kind of makes a switch. So let's look at the other section here, John 17, 20 to 26. Verse 20. I want this verse to just pop out and speak very strongly to each one of us, because it spoke very strongly to me, and my spirit just jumped when I realized what he's saying. I am not praying just for these followers, his disciples and his close inner circle. I am praying for everyone else who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. I'm praying for everyone else, that's us, who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. Why do we have faith? Because it's written down. His followers took the time and energy to write down the story of Jesus, so we have it. God wants to use us as believers, and because of what we say, others will believe. And I had to ask myself, did I say anything believable this week to someone? I'm praying for everyone who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. Are we saying things to people that cause them to think, to ingest, so to speak, words of wisdom from the Word and become to believe, become a follower of Jesus? Because, burn these words into your hearts. Because of what my followers will say about me. That's why people come to faith. Because of what my followers will say about me. I would like to pray for us as a group again. Because a lot of times we're shy, we're fearful, we're hesitant. The fields are white to harvest. There's all kinds of people, because of the evil in this world and the things they're seeing and the discouragement and things happening, they're looking for something else. And we have that message. Fields are white unto harvest. So I want to pray for us that we will overcome that hesitancy, that fear, that weakness that we have on keeping the word in ourselves. It just impacted me, yes, but I ain't got much to say to you. That's not how we're meant to live as believers. Rudy, my dog. Oh, you get sick of dog illustrations, but here goes another one. The first frost this winter that covered the entire church field, I mean, everything turned white. It was early this year, by the way, and it was everywhere. And I took my dog out in the morning like I always do, and he saw that white frost out there, and he just pulled like a jet to get out there in that frost. And he got out in that that white frost all over the ground right out here behind the church. And he rolled and he rolled and he rolled. And, oh, this is wonderful. The white frost was so cool and refreshing. Rolled and rolled and rolled in that frost. What about if we would be like that with the fields that are white to harvest? Oh. Yeah, we would have that kind of eagerness to be out in the harvest. That's what Jesus was praying would happen. He's praying for everyone else, that white harvest, who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. Let me pray. Father God, I come to you, and I know that the fields are white for harvest. I know there's a lot of people seeking for something new, something fresh, something satisfying. And Father God, you've given this group of people teaching through the years. You've given them the word. You've given them gifts of knowledge and wisdom. And you've given them different personalities. Some that very easily and readily mix with people and join with people. And you have other people here who are studious, who study and teach and train. There are others who counsel. Do others have ministry with music and song? And God, I just pray that you'll take the gifts that are exhibited right here in front of me in this audience. Would you send them into the harvest so that others may believe? Jesus prayed that that would happen, that people would believe because your followers are going out and telling people about Jesus, about love. About a God who loves them, even though they don't yet personally know him. Your people out there telling people and showing you with their own lives. I just pray this for this group gathered here at Maranatha Fellowship. Amen. Verse 21. Again, he's continuing to pray for all believers. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. I also want them to be one with us. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. I want all of them to be one with each other. But wait. We're different. He wants us all to be one with each other. And what I believe that he means is, when he's talking about being at one with each other, it means like we're submitting to one another. We're recognizing that we're different. And yet we're saying in our hearts, we're saying, you know, we have different personalities. We don't all think alike. We don't all talk alike. Some of us are outgoing. Some of us not. Some of us are smart. Some of us not so much. So many differences. So how are we going to get along and have unity to the point that God wants us to have so that the world looks at us and says, hey, look how those people get along. They got something going on there. And they're drawn to Christ. We do it by submitting to one another. Submitting means to undergird. Undergird. It's like a... If you go... In fact, the illustration that's often used, that I use myself, is that when you're driving along the highway and you come to a body of water, there has to be a bridge over that water for you to drive over it. And underneath that bridge, there's support rails. It's undergirding that roadway, holding it up. So submitting means that we undergird one another. In fact, if you dig real deep into the meaning of the word submit, it means to undergird, to hold up. So if we're going to have unity, that means if I come along and I say, Jan, you're different than me. You're older, wiser, smarter, much better horse rider than I am, but I'm going to undergird you. I'm going to have unity with you. I'm going to undergird you and do everything in my power to make you successful in your believing life. I'm going to do that. Now, if each one of us would do that, we look at the people that are very much different than us, and some people's personality, let's face it, kind of rub knuckles with them. It's sometimes difficult to get along with certain personalities. Without getting too personal, I am more introverted, generally, and people that yap, and you want to say something, they're still yap. What? Yap. They drive me nuts. Will you ever let me get a word in edgewise? But those people, if I think about it, to undergird people like that, I'm going to say, you know, your gift of talking, your gift of communication can be used for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to help you do everything in my power that, you know, all your talking can be used for the kingdom. And there's so many things like that. We just need to look at each other and recognize the differences. That's okay. But unity in the differences, we get along, we undergird, support one another. I'm going to do everything in your life and I can to make you successful in your believing life. Even the yappers among us, I'm going to do everything I can to make you successful. So enjoy your talking. I'll be a little more quiet, but that's okay. Verse 21 again. I want all of them to be one with each other, undergirding one another. Be that support rail underneath each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. I also want them to be one with us, then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. Verse 22. I have honored my followers in the same way that you honored me, in order that they may be one with each other, just as we are one. Again, the unity theme. This is telling me that Jesus is praying that we will reach the world, we humble, common, ordinary people. God wants to use us to reach the world through our unity. That's a theme that's very strong here. Through our unity, undergirding one another. And people will recognize that here's the people that undergird one another. They're different than each other, but they undergird one another. Verse 23. Jesus still praying for us. I am one with them, and you are one with me, so that they may become completely one. Then this world's people This is who we're going for. Then this world's people will know that you sent me. They will know that you love my followers as much as you love me. So when they see us in unity, holding each other up, doing everything in our power to help each other be successful in whatever their calling in life is and whatever God asks them to do, we help each other be successful. Then this world's people will know that you sent me. They will know that you love my... I'm trying to get this. This is a deep concept. They will know that you love my followers as much as you love me. How much does God love Jesus? 100%. They're in total unity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in total unity. So how much does God love Jesus? 100%. And he's saying that he loves us just as much. No one half love here. He loves us 100%, just like he loves Jesus. They will know that you love my followers just as much as you love me, Jesus said. So if you're feeling that kind of love from God, and just relax and let that love fall on you, overwhelm you, it's 100% of his love that he's given to you. Wait. And you're thinking, I know it's out there somewhere. You're thinking, what? Me? Yes, you. Yes, you. He loves you 100%. No one half love with God. He does everything wholeheartedly. Verse 24. Father, I want everyone you have given me to be with me wherever I am. I want everyone you have given me to be with me wherever I am. Then they will see the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the world was created. And to me, that's saying something very powerful. That since the dawn of creation, God has wanted us to see and experience his glory. I want everyone you've given me to be with me wherever I am. Then they will see the glory you've given me. And I see glory when I see God reach into one of you, somebody here's life, somebody, a person's life, and just turn it upside down and change it completely. That's amazing. That's exciting. That's jumping up and down territory. He changes people's lives. And he wants to use us. And he's given us a few cues in scripture here through all my babble and talking, you know. Some of you are such good communicators. I go around the barn 3 or 4 times and I get my point. We're different. But hey, y'all just help me be successful. I'll help you. Let's undergird one another. Let's love one another. Let's be used for the kingdom, because since the dawn of creation, God has thought about you. And he wanted you to experience the glory that Jesus experiences with the Father as well. So, I love to give assignments. Find somebody in this church who's different than you. Because what's going to typically happen after service is over here, you're going to find people that are similar to you, that you're comfortable with, They kind of talk your language. You're familiar with them. And that's who you'll talk with. How about we do something different? Just to practice the thing of undergirding. Find somebody who's different than you. And just ask them, you know, just get to start a conversation. And just ask them, what can I pray for you about? I'm a man of prayer or lady of prayer. And I'd like to pray for you this week. What can I pray for you? What a way to start undergirding people, supporting them and bringing unity. Worship team, we can get ready to wrap up. And while they're coming, I'd like to pray while they're coming. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray that God will give each one of you someone different than you to connect with. Just to start the process of being more unified as a group, to know each other better. And as we do that and we learn how to pray for each other and lift each other up and we know what people are struggling with and we're helping them bear those burdens, that we'll be much more effective out in the community and the people that God sends into our lives. Father, I pray this morning that you will bless this group, just fill them with your Spirit. And one thing that your Spirit does is your Spirit moves around, seeking to show yourself strong in their behalf. And I pray that your Spirit moves around and touches the people here and comes into their homes and into their lives, that you will give them, through your Spirit, someone to relate to that's on a different level than them, different personality, just a little bit different. Because when they get out and working with the people of the world, there'll be a million different personalities out there, some of them very strange to them. And yet they need to work with those people and tell them the story of Jesus. So God, I pray that you'll give each one here someone to practice with, someone to just ask, can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can do to help you in making your life easier, or anything I can teach you or show you or whatever you want to say, Lord, would you do that for each one here so that your kingdom can be expanded and glorified? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.